stop persistence as our history is real. A strong will can shine like gold.
Welcome to the Wayne Bennett Podcast, celebrating West Virginia people, places, and the culture of Southern Appalachia. Now here's your host, Wayne Bennett.
Welcome to Wayne Bennett's podcast. My name is Wayne Bennett. This is episode 67. And our guest today is Kip Buchanan, who's he's the new director of the Greater East Beckley Open Golf Tournament. Welcome, Kip.
Thank you, Wayne.
And I say new director, but your family's been involved in this tournament for years. We're getting ready to celebrate the 44th year. And the tournament started in 1979. How old were you when that happened?
I would have been 7 years old.
7 years old.
Right.
What's your first recollection of the Greater East Beckley Open?
I can remember my mom taking me out there, watching you all come on number 9 green at Cool Ridge. Uh-huh. I can remember sitting up there watching it, and we waiting for my dad to come by. I think he had on plaid pants, if I'm not mistaken. And my mom saying, there's your dad, and him walking that route around old Cool Ridge, around to the green. I can remember that.
And the tournament started, it was supposed to be a reunion of the old caddies at Black Knight Country Club. And back in those days, there was no motorized carts. There was no pull carts. And a young man could come up and register at the clubhouse. And they put him on the list for caddies, and people would come into play. And if they wanted a caddy, they would pay him. I think some of the early ones got paid 65 cents for 9 holes carrying a bag. And sometimes they would carry double bags. And of course, the patrons, if they liked it, they would give them a tip afterwards. And back in those days, guys couldn't mow grass. They didn't have motorized, some of them didn't have motorized lawnmowers, and so it was a good way for a guy to make money. And I guess your dad was a caddy.
I believe so. Yeah. I've heard stories, so I believe so.
Yeah. And my brother was a caddy for years, but I never, when I got to the age to be a caddy, my mom wouldn't let me be one because my brother, I think, learned to smoke and play cards after his caddying was over. And it was okay for me to deliver papers at 4 o'clock in the morning, but she didn't want me being a caddy. And I can remember you coming out and they letting you hit some golf balls and stuff at some of the tournaments. Do you remember the first tournament you played in?
I do remember that. I still can remember it pretty vividly. I don't know if I was 14 or 15. I believe I was 15. I just took up golf and I was horrible at it. And back in those days, it was the first day. It was a two-man scramble, correct?
Yeah.
You were partnered. I was partnered with Bud Tomczyk. Uh-huh. I felt so sorry for Bud Tomczyk. I was horrible. I can remember going number, I believe it was number 6. No, number 5. Him driving a really good drive, and I got up there and I just scolded a ball to the number 6 tee, and he just kind of shaking his head, and I was just apologizing to him because I was so bad.
Yeah, that first day they would try to match you up. If you were a poor golfer, they would try to match you up with a real good golfer.
Mm-hmm.
And to make things equal, we played at Lakeview Golf Course, was at Cool Ridge, and they some people called it the Rock Pile. It actually used to be a rock quarry. And sometimes the greens were not very forgiving, and it was a 9-hole course. Steve Wood owned it. His daughter, Stephanie, and son-in-law, James Lehman, they kind of helped keep it up. And great people, man. They were fantastic.
They were.
And they loved having us over there. We played teams on Saturday and individual on Sunday. And of course, it was nine holes, so you're kind of limited to how many players you can have. But at that time, it was pretty much limited to former caddies and their sons or grandsons.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it was called an open, but it wasn't exactly an open at that, that particular time. The cost back then, there was no carts. There were some people that had their own carts, but most of the time you had to walk. And I think we played 2 days of golf for $15 or something like that. But it was it was really great. The tournament is now this year make it 44 years, and it's and your grandfather Lewis had a lot to do with this tournament too. Who got you started playing? Was it your dad?
My dad. The year he passed away, he took us golfing a few times, I can remember. Took us to Black Knight, went to Cool Ridge. I can remember before his accident, he taken myself, my brother Scott, Ryan, and Aaron Neal up to Marlington Golf Course. We went up to Pocahontas County Camp, and he took us all golfing up there.
Uh-huh.
So I can remember he taking me or getting an interest in it, and then after he passed away, it was my granddad and Jimmy Deering taking me.
Now, my understanding that the idea of the golf tournament, we used to play basketball on Friday nights.
Right, I can remember.
And then after we play over at Woodrow Wilson, then we'd go up Jimmy's place and drink a couple beers after the playing. And my understanding that was Billy Lane, Charlie Lilly, who was a mainstay of East Beckley, and your dad, and they started talking about having a golf tournament. And I wasn't, I might have been there, but I wasn't in that discussion because I didn't play golf. So that's the understanding I got. And is that the same thing you
heard?
That's
the same thing I've heard through what my mother's told me.
And then I was working at the Y, and your dad called me and said, we're going to have a reunion and need to start playing. And I said, well, I don't even own golf clubs. And I made up every excuse in the world not to play. And it was like 2 days later, and I came home, and there was an old green golf bag laying on my front porch, and it had seven clubs in it, and had a driver and a putter. And I don't know what I think it had a nine iron. I don't know what the other clubs were, but then he called me up the next day and said, well, you have no excuse now. You got clubs. And I actually used those clubs for several years. And most of the clubs I had was clubs people gave me. They felt sorry for me after a while. But I didn't really need any. But your dad ran a tournament from 79. And he was in a plane crash. Was it 85?
85, correct.
85. What could you tell us a little bit about what happened there?
I really don't know, to tell you the honest truth. Just, I know it said pilot error or something. I really don't know what happened.
No, they were in a small plane.
Small passenger
Alaska
plane.
Or something.
Yeah, they were on a fishing trip. It just finished fishing or were coming back to get us.
Uh-huh.
Is how that happened.
And you were there, you were on the trip with them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were up, the whole family was up there.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. And when was that? What month was that? Was that?
It was in July.
It was in July.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, so the next year, they decided to keep the tournament going, and Merle Kaiser.
Okay, I remember him.
Merle Kaiser ran the tournament, and Merle was a good golfer, and he grew up in East Beckley, and he had a. He had a car, where you pay an insurance policy and you put a car. He had a car if you hit a hole in one on the ninth hole, and they had the car up there sitting beside the clubhouse. It wasn't a brand new car, but it was a nice one. And of course, nobody won it or anything, but that kind of added a little bit to it. And then Merle moved out of town. But your grandfather played a lot of golf too, didn't he?
Right.
He was, I know. He was a pretty regular out at Cool
Rich. He had his own golf cart.
Yeah.
And he was pretty serious.
And him and Jim Derry
right.
played a whole lot. But so after Kaiser left, Rodney Lilly took over and started. And Rodney ran it for several years, ran the golf tournament. And we kept it at Cool Ridge. And we got up to, most of the time we could handle 48 golfers. That's how much it grew. It would get fluctuate up and down. And because it was 9 holes, and there was only 2 or 3 holes where you could really double up.
Correct.
Yeah, and the rest of them was just too short and too dangerous, I guess. But what is one of your fondest memories about it playing? I mean, I guess when you started when you were 14, you continued playing
mm-hmm.
every year.
Yeah.
And any particular incidents or anything that you remember?
Incidents? I don't remember any incidents, really. I can remember it raining one year and people having trash bags playing through it. I do remember I had to miss one year because my wife picked our day to get married on the 24th of June, and that fell the golf tournament one year. And my granddad was so mad at me, and Jimmy had passed away that year, I believe, but that they had to miss the golf tournament because I was getting married. I got married that Saturday. So every year it ends up that weekend is my anniversary date.
Wow.
So I remember that.
Well, talking about marriage, I had my sister-in-law got married, and they were getting married up here at Staniford Church, and they made me an usher, and they were getting married on the Saturday that we were having a tournament, and I thought I could get it both in, you know, get this done and hurry. And I'm telling you, man, I drove from Cool Ridge, I was flying, and come home and whipped on some clothes. I mean, it was a pretty dressy affair too. And I think I ended up ushering 2 people. but I was there enough time to get pictures taken and those kind of things. But then I said after that, you know, don't ask me on this weekend. This weekend's taken.
And then I can remember one time when Coach Pruitt was there.
Yeah.
At Cool Ridge. And I think I talked to him. You all introduced me to him. And I was just in awe of the guy because he was a coach. I think was he a lineman coach for Oklahoma at the time? Do you remember?
I don't think he was at Oklahoma. He was at Southern Mississippi, Tulane. I don't think it was one of those. Yeah.
I just remember I was in awe of him. He was talking about linemen and how big the kids are getting these days and everything. I can remember having a really good conversation with him.
Yeah, he grew up on Allen Avenue and he went to Sylvia School. And I don't know whether he caddied any because he played football, wrestled and track, and so he was a pretty busy guy mm-hmm. anyway. And but then you played with him one of the years when we came back to Black Knight.
Yeah. My brother and I and my nephew Corey played with him, Coach Pruitt.
And he's a pretty good golfer.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Sure is.
He hadn't played in a couple of years because he's had other arrangements, but he plays a lot of golf. He's not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
When I took over when Rodney quit running the tournament, and the first year, I wanted to do a few things different. And first year, well, back in the old days, after we played golf on Saturday, we would go up your house, and you guys had a swimming pool.
Phil Avenue.
And so they would bring the wives or family members.
Right.
I don't know how many years we did that.
I don't either, but I remember all you all coming and Mom making us pick up the house and clean the stuff around the pool before you all got there. I can remember being real little too. I shouldn't say this story, but bringing kegs of beer over. My dad always worried about drinking all the beer.
But we had, when I first started running it, we actually, a lot of us left Black Knight, went to Jimmy's place as a group, and then one time we went down to JC's bar, who JC played in our golf tournament. And then Your granddad started giving us buffalo burgers, buffalo meat. Uh-huh. So we started cooking, having a cookout over there on Saturday after the tournament. On Sundays, we didn't do so much because after we gave the awards out, a lot of the guys out of state
right.
had to go on home. And my wife, after a couple of years of cooking the buffalo burger, she said, well, we can have food, but I'm not cooking anymore.
Right.
So we started getting Walmart chicken and those kind of things. And everybody kind of got looking forward to the, but there was some of the highlights. If you remember, you remember the Budweiser girls?
Yes, I do. That was something.
Yeah, we
being had, a teenager or young 20s, that was a treat.
Yeah, Bill Rucker kind of furnished the Budweiser girls who served the refreshments at one of the certain holes, and that was pretty good. And one year, the first year the Outback restaurant opened up in Beckley, they were trying to establish a good relationship, and they catered food to us.
I believe that was the year I got married. I was not there the year the Outback really? Was there. Mm-hmm.
And it was, I mean, they sent steak and everything out there, man. It was nice. You know? And you probably don't remember this one either, but we had, we were eating, sitting around eating one day on Saturday after the tournament. And I saw it coming, a Goodyear blimp uh-huh. was coming by. And not too many people had noticed. And I said, one more feature of the tournament. We're having a Goodyear blimp.
There.
And some of them guys believed that stuff. And what happened, the Goodyear blimp was making an emergency landing at the Raleigh County Airport. It was having some kind of trouble. And there was guys that believed that for years.
I remember that.
They thought we were big time, I guess. But so we played at... Cool Ridge for many years, and then they decided to close the course.
Mm-hmm.
And have you been out there, seen what's out there now?
I have. Jimmy Lane, my buddy Jimmy Lane, lives out there, Billy Lane's boy.
Uh-huh.
Or you go past the golf course going to his house, and it's big cow pasture now, cow fields.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
and they built the house on number 2 green. That's where James lives, James and Stephanie.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I saw the house. I didn't know who lived there.
Yeah, James and Stephanie.
And then I saw someone had told me that they had sold some of the land, like where the number 1 hole was, a couple of those houses that bordered that, bought additional land
okay.
there. And I really wasn't sure what had happened. But we had a lot of good memories. Some of the champions that we've had in the past, the very first tournament they had was Ron Hancock
mm-hmm.
won it. And he was your brother-in-law. At the
right.
Is he still your brother-in-law?
No, he and Sherry got a divorce.
Uh-huh.
Ron just recently passed away in the past month or two.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a pretty good golfer. And then in the early days, Charlie Lilly won one year.
Right.
And I think that was a playoff. And Billy Lane pretty well dominated. I think he's won a total of about 19 of the Greater East Beckley Open titles. And then Timmy Boggs, who's Billy's nephew, who Billy actually introduced the game to, Timmy had, he came one year, we knew he was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
He'd been to a golf school. And
we down in Myrtle Beach.
You remember the jacket?
Yeah. You said we're starting a new tradition. We brought that jacket, the green jacket out.
Yeah. We brought the green jacket like the Masters, and old Timmy, man, he was so proud he won that tournament anyway. And he put that jacket on, and everybody was... And we had on the back of the jacket, I cheated. And he didn't know it. He couldn't figure out why everybody was laughing. That's the only time we ever had a jacket presentation, though. But we had Billy Lane, Timmy Boggs, Marty Durham won, I think, a couple years.
Uh-huh.
The first year Marty won it, some people thought, it was a fluke. Yeah, he didn't, there ain't no way. But he won it the second year. We put him with the best golfers out there, and he won it the second year. Marty was a pretty good golfer. Elmer Meadows won it.
Mm-hmm.
Moose Honaker won it 1 year at Woodhaven. My nephew, Tommy Bennett Jr., he came from Washington, and the first year he played at Cool Ridge, on the first green, he chipped this, and it bounced about 8 feet in the air. And he said, "What in the world?" You know. And it, but once he learned to play it, he won. I think he played three times. The third time, he won it. Mm-hmm. You know, he kind of figured out what you had to do. And what do you have to do on that? I never did figure it out.
Coleridge?
Yeah.
As my granddad and Jimmy Deering say, bump and run.
Bump and run.
Bump it and run it.
And but Tommy won it 1 year. Then after we left Cool Ridge, after they closed down, we went to Black Knight when it was still private. They were opening it up a little bit. And back in the old days, when the caddies would caddy, they were closed on Mondays, and they would let the caddies go play for free. And some of them had clubs, and some of them, their regular members would let them use their clubs occasionally. And that's how some of them guys learned how to play golf. That's mm-hmm. why I never learned how, because I didn't caddy. But they all looked forward to Mondays, and kind of kept them coming and going. But when we moved to Black Knight, Jim Salango was running Black Knight, and Jim was really good to us. I mean, Black Knight was where the tournament should have started. I mean, that's where the history of it, and he was really good to us out there. But then when they sold it, Jim Justice bought it. We played 1 year, and then the next year we had to go to Woodhaven mm-hmm. because they were doing a bunch of work at Black Knight. You remember when we played at Woodhaven?
Yeah, I do.
That was pretty tough, of course.
Yeah, that was a shock to a lot of the Greater Speckley Open Boys system, so to say.
But it was it's one of probably the toughest courses I've ever seen. But it was a perfect day. They treated us good. I mean, Jim Justice was very apologetic that we had to move, and they treated us real good out mm-hmm. there. And I actually kind of wanted to go back, but we couldn't get together on the finances the next time. But then we decided to go to the Briar Patch the next year, and Hamp Hensley was the director at the Briar Patch, and he just made us really feel welcome out there. And you played a lot at the Briar Patch, mm-hmm. didn't you?
Yeah, sure did.
And what did you think about that course?
I loved it. I didn't like it when it first opened, but after a couple of years, I played out there a lot. I really loved that course. I miss it.
And now your son's, Tanner played some,
mm-hmm.
and your other son, he just played
last year, Chase.
Well, that was his first year.
That was his first year in it, and he's going to play, my brother Brett's going to play this year in it, and Chase is going to play with him on his foursome.
And Scott, your brother's played in about all the ones you played in. He's a pretty good golfer.
Yes, he is.
What about your other brother, Brett? You say
Brett's going to play this year. He has his own foursome.
Okay.
So he's going to play this year in it. He played in it when it was at Briar Patch 1 year. Myself and my stepfather, Eldon, and Dave Tomczyk won it 1 year out there at Briar Patch when he did the four-man scramble.
Yeah. And so it's But we were at the Briar Patch for several years, and then Stuart, what's his first name? You know, Kip?
Stuart.
Yeah, he took over after Hamp.
Oh, yes. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he took over, but he was good to us, too. And but I remember Hamp Hensley saying one day, we were supposed to play, and it poured.
Poured the rain.
It poured the rain the night before. There was a water running down the course, and we played. He just said, stay on the cart path, and we played. And he came up and gave me a hug after it was over, and he said, I'd have been closed today if you guys hadn't been playing, and I ended up making $3,000. And he was tickled to death. And 1 year it was so foggy we had to start about 30 minutes late. But we never, 43 years, we never called it off. You know, we had to go to single days when we left Cool Ridge, but we never called it off. And since we've been at Black Knight, Micah Davis, you're working with Micah now. And he's a great guy to work with. And city's got a little bit more bureaucracy than some of the others, but you know, those are just some things you deal with. But what I like the most about the tournament is it's a reunion within a reunion.
Right.
And you mentioned your brothers and your kids, and even though we all live in, some of us live around Beckley and stuff, we don't see each other too often.
Right.
And you time to get to see.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you like about it? I mean,
I like you said, a reunion of reunion. Remember growing up as kids and you all playing basketball on Friday nights, seeing some of you all again, got good memories of the Friday night basketball crew. And then I get to see some of my high school classmates. Your son John comes back, get to see John, growing up with him, and Brian Neal and the Neal boys and Davis, and seeing a bunch of old high school people. And we got Beth Keatley playing now, so seeing Beth. And then you see like the Tomziks, who you don't see once a year, and Elmer Metter. I just love to see people again.
Yeah, like, you know, my son John and them, I mean, they got a team they call the Class of 1989, and they get together, and, you know, one lives in Ohio, and three of them live around here, but it's, or two of them live around here. John lives in Virginia, so it's something they look forward to. So, and you got some families, some old friends. I mean, they all... it's just a lot of smaller reunions getting together for one big one, but it can get competitive. There's some pretty good golfers.
Oh yes, there is.
I mean, a couple we've had this past year, Mike Mays.
Yeah.
You've been around Mike. Tell me about him.
He's very competitive. He takes his golf serious.
he won the thing. I think a couple years won it. And then last year he was playing Bob Strickland in that foursome. And, man, one of them shot a 65 and the other shot a 64. And I'd like to follow them around and watch that, man. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Right.
And hopefully those guys will be back.
They, like I said, Strickland I've heard from. I believe he's already sent his money in.
Uh-huh.
And Mike Mays, Ryan said he'll take care of Mike Mays. Make sure he gets an invitation.
Yeah. And those guys, I mean, they're really serious. But we added a team competition a few years ago, and some of the average and below average golfers kind of like the team competition.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's still kind of laid back. You know, we've got some pretty relaxed rules, and, you know, so it hasn't got to where it's dog eat dog or anything like that. But what would you like to see happen with the tournament in the future? Or, I mean, the old caddies are about gone. There's not many left.
Right.
There's only three or four that I know of that still play. And, of course, some of their sons and grandsons are playing. But what direction would you like to see the tournament go in?
I'd just like to see it continue. Like, you kept it going for so many years, and your letter said a couple years ago or last year, it's fried the ratio, and now the pandemic. Just keep it going. And family reunions, old friend reunions. Come back to East Beckley, all your grandchildren, and just keep coming back to Beckley and talk about the memories.
It's I think the longest consecutive running open tournament in the state. Now they got the West Virginia Open, but it's you have to qualify for that, so it's not really an open. But I have checked all over the state. And I'm pretty sure the Gibbo is the longest consecutive running Open tournament in the state of West Virginia, and that's quite an accomplishment, right there. And like I said, floods, pandemics, everything.
I remember that day it rained so hard at Briar Patch, it poured the rain the night before, and how we got in 18 holes that next day. I do remember I golfed with Jimmy and David Lane and my brother, and you said cart path only. Well, Jimmy got off the cart path. He spun down a hill, and how he in the world did not go over a cliff, I'll never know. We had to push that thing all the way back up a hill. That's a story I'm telling on Jimmy.
Yeah, it was a tad dangerous.
And you said at the very beginning, well, if it rains or lightnings, you your own judgment. And whoever was out there at Briar Patch came back and said, no, you'll hear the horn. Get off the course.
Yeah, that was the director of the course or something. I said, use your own judgment if you want to come in or leave. And yet, no, if it's lightning or stuff, you got to get off of there.
We still laugh about that.
but it's been some good times. And then, mm-hmm. I think this tape is we're actually taping it in May, but it actually will not be aired until June the 3rd. Okay. But I would say that there'll still be a few openings. Mm-hmm. And if anyone's interested, they can reach you on Facebook, Kip Buchanan.
Yeah, Facebook, message me. That's how I'm reaching out to people. Okay. If I don't have your address or you want an invitation, just reach out to me and I'll send you one in the mail.
Okay. And Kip, it's been nice talking to you, man. And wish you the best of luck. And I'm going to try to get out and play this coming week, see if I can do it.
All right, I appreciate it.
And maybe we can get some East Beckley guys to play with me. We'll put a East Beckley team in there. And we have categories of senior division, masters divisions, open divisions, and then there's team competition. So it's mm-hmm. It ought to be interesting. Well, thank you for coming by. And we might try to get one of the golfers, Mike Mays, on here before the tournament.
That would be good.
Yeah, and he can talk a little bit about his tournament coming up after
right.
Nebo. Anyone else out there would like to be on the show, you can contact me at awbennett50@gmail.com, and we'll get you on here. And then remember, if you're not dead yet, you're not done yet. Until next time, this is Wayne Bennett, and God bless you.
Then it started to hook just a wee bit. And that's when my caddy lost sight of it. That little white pellet has never been found to this day. But it went straight down the middle like they say. Whack down the fairway. It went smack down the fairway. Then it started to slice just a smidge offline. It headed for two, but it bounced off nine. My caddy says, long as you're still in the state, you're okay.